We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tone! Kenny! You want a dome? Give me one. Mitch, you want a dome?
I'll take one.
Owen, you want a dome?
Yep.
Orange whip? Orange whip? Three orange whips. Oh, that's the big conversation around here. $2 billion dome over by Brook Park, by the airport, or in Brook Park, by the airport, or you want to redo for $1 billion, you want to renovate the current stadium. Aditi Kekabwala, now she spends a lot of time in Cleveland, and she covers the NFL for CBS Sports, the AFC North for CBS Sports. You see her on the sidelines, and she is a person who it's become her thing almost. Like John Rothstein follows college basketball, mm-hmm. and he says that this is, I don't even want to say the name of the month because I'm not getting sued. I have a team of lawyers, John. Go ahead and try it, pal. But Aditi, the weather seems to follow her. She always finds herself in inclement weather. Aditi, you and your business, welcome on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Would you like a dome in Brook Park, or would you like to renovate the current stadium and have open air along the lakefront?
So my feelings on this have actually evolved a little bit. I feel as if I have always thought that the weather, the environment, the snow, the wind, it's all part of the allure. It's all part of the toughness of the Cleveland Browns that you come and you play in these insane conditions. The same as if a team goes to Miami and it's 94 degrees. But I had a very interesting conversation with someone at the Super Bowl, and I think that, to quote this person, these athletes aren't animals. They're elite athletes, and shouldn't we do all that we can to create the optimum environment for them to be at their best? And quite frankly, I was at a game on Christmas Eve when it was minus 15 degree wind chill, and that didn't help the Cleveland Browns. The New Orleans Saints, who play in a dome, ended up winning that game.
Good point.
So I feel like for the fan experience, I feel like for just the use of the stadium, which I know is something that Browns ownership has brought up, that if it's a dome, it could be used for far more than just 12 dates a year. I like the idea of renovating another area of the greater Cleveland area and bringing shopping and restaurants and making a destination of some sort. All of that seems to make a lot of sound sense. But of course, if the city decides that ultimately it's better, or if the city ownership, everybody combined, decides it's better to renovate the lakefront stadium, then okay, there's something really wonderful about every AFC North stadium being on the water.
I have to say this. I'm not arguing with you. I would be arguing with a person who said this to you. If that's the case, I hear what they're saying, then why not have everything be grass? Because the players have been pushing for grass for a long period of time. That's the only thing.
You're not. You know what? Guess what? I don't work for the National Football League anymore.
Well, I know.
So I don't think I have to be careful about that anymore.
Ooh.
I agree with you.
Oh.
I do completely 100% agree. I think that if we can put grass in stadiums for soccer, we should be able to put grass in stadiums for football players. And you know what? There is real grass in Pittsburgh and there's real grass in Cleveland, and that's beautiful grass. And those are two of the most awful weather places, and the grass is amazing. The field is amazing.
Yeah, the reason,
so I really do feel it's possible.
Yeah, the reason I wanted to ask you, Aditi, is that I think you are a wealth of knowledge because, again, you spend a considerable amount of time in Cleveland, and we know where you live. But it's like in Cleveland, we're figuring out the stadium situation. In Pittsburgh, they rule that stadium. That county rules that stadium with an iron fist. Like, what? The Steelers can't even put signs up without them approving any of that stuff. So I kind of wanted to see, because you've seen the extremes on both sides where the Browns have basically been given carte blanche to do whatever they want in different ownerships, and the Steelers really struggle with doing anything in that stadium.
A lot of that also I don't want to wade into the politics of all of that right now, but I think a lot of that also has to do with what is the investment that ownership is willing to make, and how does ownership view the place that they play in terms of, is it an extension of their brand? I don't, you know, I know that many years ago there was quite a bit of sort of, the Steelers have a lot of minority owners, and I know that there were minority owners that wished the Steelers owned the parking lots, that wasn't something that they conceded. There's a lot of feeling that the Steelers, like the Cowboys, could be making a lot more money if they took control of a lot more things. And that's not the interest of ownership, as I understand it. But I probably shouldn't. I'm not an expert on that.
So
before I get into trouble, can we make a hard right turn somewhere?
Kick returns. How much is that going to affect things in the NFL?
I'm excited about it, I'll tell you. I'm a little bit confused. I was telling my crew in our group chat yesterday, I'm not anything that increases returns, I'm in favor of, because to me, it was like such a nothing play last year. It was really just annoying. Okay, here's the kick. Okay, here's the fair catch. Okay, here's the ball. Why even bother? I think returns are some of the most dynamic, potentially momentum changing, energizing plays. I want to see them in the game. So if this brings returns back, great. And it's also not about the play itself. It's about the players. Think about players that have sort of made names off of their returns.
Well, I mean, Dante Hall, Devin Hester's in the Hall of Fame because of it, or going into the Hall of Fame because of it. Josh Cribbs is a local legend and hero because of it. I mean, his story is his
heart scrabble. The Ravens had a guy, Jacoby Jones, who was really, really good at that. Yeah.
That's true.
I definitely think that that's a piece of it.
Aditi, I really am curious because I know they've done all the research and they paid attention to, what was it, the XFL that used this. And I think that the starting field position was just 3 yards difference from what it was in the NFL. But they don't have the world-class returners or weapons that the NFL would have. Is there a chance that this gets out of whack, that all of a sudden field position is at an insane spot where the NFL would have to go back and think about, hey, how do we address this?
Yeah, I don't know about that, right? Because don't you feel like the NFL cares more about scoring than great defense?
Aditi, don't they like an equilibrium, though, too? You know, the NBA, the scoring got out of whack. They changed it midstream by the way they enforced the rules. It's incredible. You can see the line of demarcation of when they changed how they were going to enforce the rules, and it's totally changed. The NFL, would they have a way to do that?
Anything is possible, right? And especially when it comes to officiating, because you have weekly meetings as related to officiating. Crews are graded every week. And so, and there's edicts from the officiating office. Things like that, for sure. I mean, we saw it even with, we saw it last season with, I can't even remember what it was. It feels like a lifetime ago. Was it offsides, or it was the way certain things were called suddenly became a lot tighter? So, yeah, that's possible. But this is all like, this is speculation. Let's see how it plays out. You know, like you're saying, well, if this happens and then this happens and then this happens, let's see if it really plays out that way.
Aditi Kekabwala.
Before we jump to fear. Yes, sorry.
Well, no, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't know.
No,
are you?
No, I, That's it. Just go. I just feel like we're not sure yet. So it's valid. It's a, like, okay, let's follow it down the road yet, but we don't know yet. So let's have that conversation once we see what the actual results are.
I love it. I mean, it's an entertainment game. It's an entertainment sport, and I'm entertained by the kick returns and everything else like that. I think that. And the NFL was very quick to kind of, hey, it's not as bad as you guys are making it out to be. When they brought the hip drop tackling thing in, it's like, well, we're really concentrating on the swivel and there's going to be more fines than there are flags. I'm like, oh, okay, maybe that's a little bit well and good because, I mean, if you're leaving it up to the refs, I mean, we already have enough problems with referees being human and trying to find different rule changes every single year. I thought that could turn into a real mess for the NFL pretty quickly.
I think that that's fair, what you're saying, but I think this is just sort of the nature of any time that there are new rules, there are people that are going to be excited, okay, let's see what this is, and then there are those that aren't. I thought what was interesting was the fact that the Players Association didn't want that changed, but then you go back and the Players Association actually, you know, 15, 20 years ago, I think it was Mike Florio brought up a Peter King article where, you know, this has sort of been the nature of the game to some degree, that a lot of rule changes are met with some initial resistance. But I do think that the rate of injury is so out of whack that it feels significant enough to warrant some sort of addressing. And what we've seen is some sort of change. So let's see. But, guys, I'm so aware of this. My son plays flag football, not tackle, and I keep being asked, when is he going to play tackle? I just think that it is so, so important that kids learn the proper technique from the start of how to tackle and really need to be mature enough to learn that and get that, which is sort of a side conversation. But these are all things that there is a way to tackle. There is a way to tackle with a lot of excitement, with a lot of quote unquote viciousness that doesn't necessarily put the other person at a greater rate of danger. So I think the game trying to figure that out is not a bad thing.
Aditi, I actually have a question about that for off the air because it would take over the rest of the interview. So I'm going to text you later on. But Lima, go ahead because you got some poignant stuff to ask.
Yeah, a lot of moves in the AFC North. We're doing win totals already before the draft even starts. And just curious, you follow this division as close as anybody. What were the biggest moves or the ones that stand out the most to you? And then if you could speak to the Steelers QB situation.
Yeah, well, I think that sort of is the biggest headline. And obviously, just because I live here and because of my relationship with Kenny Pickett and my insight into a lot of that, it's hard to sort of look outside of that at the moment. I don't know. I mean, it's pretty interesting. Russell Wilson has had, you know, we had Russell Wilson, our crew had Russell Wilson week two last year, and he said two things that were really interesting. He acknowledged that the year before had been horrible, and he said, but you know what, if I have an 18-year career and one of those 18 years is bad, then I'll still take it. And now, obviously, at the time, it was week two, he didn't know it would be 2 years, but the same holds true. If he has an 18-year career, if he's a Super Bowl winner, if he's a multiple, you know, time all pro, whatever, then yeah, he'll take two down years. And then the other thing that he said that I really appreciated was that if you want to climb another mountain, that he felt that he had climbed one mountain in Seattle. And he said, if you want to climb another mountain, you have to be down in the valley. You know, you go up a mountain, you come down, and then you have to climb back up. So, okay, I appreciate all of that. I appreciate that whole mindset. Having said all of that, there is a very, very strong reason that Sean Payton, one of the strongest offensive minds in our game, thinks it is better to pay Russell Wilson $38 million to not be in his building. And so...
And trade Jerry Wilson, Judy.
Yes, yeah, so Russell Wilson has things... Well, the Jerry Jeudy thing, I don't know that it's fair to lump it all together.
I hate him. Yeah, just call him out for his asinine opinion.
You know what? Yes, but again, Jerry Jeudy is still a very, very young player. Jerry Jeudy still has an opportunity to, and so does everybody has an opportunity to sort of change how they relate to people in a locker room, who they are, what their persona is, how much they care about how they are perceived or not. Anyway, Russell Wilson struggled with a lot of things on the football field last year, throwing between the numbers, the rush. He was climbing out of the back of the pocket a lot. The snap counts, relaying play calls, all of these things were a bit of a challenge a year ago. Maybe under Arthur Smith, they're not. He still throws a very beautiful deep ball. He did have some issues, sort of. He's never been kind of the locker room guy that some others are, but maybe there's a learning lesson in what the last 2 years have been. He certainly was very, very much wanted by the Pittsburgh Steelers. Mike Tomlin reneged on everything that he had said to Kenny Pickett and what his plan had been. He reneged very quickly on it. A promise was made to Russell Wilson that he would be the starter. That's why you saw him sign so quickly. Now, obviously, a promise made in March is not necessarily the same thing that happens in September. So I'm sure there's a lot of excitement and juice about being wanted. And Russell is posting a lot of videos of himself working out, lifting weights, inside, wearing sunglasses, because, you know, the future is so bright. So you need shades. You guys didn't like that? I thought that was kind of clever.
No, he was just thinking of how he's going to frame his question.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, we did.
Aditi, I'm sorry.
Anyway, Justin Fields, really quickly. Justin Fields, you know, that's a flyer. I was surprised that Ryan Poles said that there was no interest in him. Justin Fields is he's an Ohio State guy. You guys know him well. I was at his pro day. I think he's such a nice young man. He's got a lot of moxie. He also, he still has some things to learn, but he's really young. And I think he's got an opportunity to sort of take a step back and learn and get a bit better, and we'll see. I mean, this could be brilliant or it could be a disaster. Who knows? I don't know, but it's definitely completely, totally overhauling your quarterback room, giving up on the guy that you drafted in the first round just a few weeks after acknowledging that you'd never really put him in position to succeed and all of that. I mean, it's just, it's interesting. It's very interesting.
The two games on Christmas, Aditi, 30 seconds. What do you think?
I don't love it, but hey, anything that makes money, right? I don't love it, especially since it's on a Wednesday. I also, yes, that's where I am. Can I tell a story really quick?
Knock us out. Go ahead.
Okay, so this year we had the Titans, and we had had the Titans already. It was very late in the season. We'd had the Titans already, so we decided instead of meeting in person, we were going to meet via Zoom. So ordinarily when we do production meetings, we fly into the home team, we go to practice on Friday, and then we meet in person. But in this case, we were going to meet with the Titans via Zoom on Thursday. And so we had Mike Vrabel very early in the morning on a Thursday. And I had to get my kids lunch made, get their breakfast made, get them out the door to school, get my workout in. And so I put on my workout clothes. I'm doing all of this. And then I'm jumping on this, whatever, 8:30 a.m. Zoom. The way that our production meetings work, our analyst, Adam Archuleta, goes first. He asks questions. Then our play-by-play guy goes. It's Spiro Dedes. And then it's my turn. And as Spiro says, okay, Aditi, you go ahead. Vrabel says, Aditi, are you wearing a brown shirt? And I looked down, and I had indeed, in the midst of all this craziness, put on a brown shirt, because that's what I was going to run in, was this, or that's what I had run in, was this brown shirt. So I said, yes, I was working out in this brown shirt. And Vrabel looks at me and he goes, don't you live in Pittsburgh? And I said, hey, I worked for the Browns in the preseason and it was free. And Mike Tomlin always told me, you wear free clothes. And Vrabel starts shaking his head. And then he looks over to his PR guy on the side and he says, Robbie, you make sure we get her a Titan shirt on Sunday. So, okay, we go to my game. I get a Titan shirt, actually. And then I see Vrabel at the combine this year. And I had learned that he was going to work with the Browns in some capacity. And so I...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Him. I said, hey, not so bad that I was wearing that brown shirt, huh?
Guys, laugh.
It was a good story.
I'm sorry. We're getting the whole thing. We're like, we got to go. I love it. No, we love it. We love it.
Wasn't it a cute story? It was like foretelling. It was like the Spidey sense. I knew that I needed to put brown gear on in front of Mike Vrabel. That's where the story went.
But you know how our fans are going to take that
Vrabel
story.
And then we see another guy has a sense of humor. Boy. Yeah, I mean, he's a great coach. He's a great mind. He's a great motivator. He's a wonderful addition to the Browns. I'm super excited about this. I'm stunned that he didn't get another head coaching job. But this is very, very, very good for the Browns. And now you guys know that he's got a sense of humor, too.
And Aditi, he will be a wonderful confidant for Kevin Stefanski as Kevin Stefanski hands off play calling to Ken Dorsey. Thank you for the time. Thank you for the time.
We'll address that another time.
Yes, we will. Aditi, thank you very much. Oh, she hung. I did hang up on her. I gotta make sure the phones are okay. 216-474-0092. One thought on that when we come back. I mean that about the whole Vrabel thing. And Shohei Ohtani and some dude from the Raptors. It's a big week for conspiracy theorists. All right, I'm going to address that here in a second. Who is the voice in the promo just now? Who said, what's up with the Browns?
I don't know. I don't know who that was. I don't know where
it came from. Is that locally sourced? Is that someone at the Fan?
I couldn't tell you. I don't think so.
Can we run that back at all?
Give
or is that
a second.
Okay, because sometimes it's like lost to the ages once it plays.
Well, it is kind of lost. It's in what we call a rotator.
Okay.
It's an inside term.
You have to wait for it to rotate all the way back.
We can't rotate back, but I can look it up.
Like the NFL draft.
We can't get fans to call in and go like, what's up with the Browns? Like, you can't do that? Why don't we get real fans? We had a guy call in and compare Marcus Morris to Joe Flacco yesterday. We couldn't get that guy to call in and go, what's up with the Browns? Like, we can't do that? It sounded like Mac.
Maybe it was.
Maybe it was.
From the afternoon show. Was it Mac?
It'd be Mac and me.
Passionate acting.
Are the Cavs for real this season?
Subscribe to our podcast for even more Cleveland sports content.
Why did the Guardians do that?
What's up with the Browns?
Get to 92.3thefan.com.
That is Matt.
What's up with the Browns?
What's up with the Browns? Mitch.
I'm here.
Give me a what's up with the Browns. You have 700 Blu-rays. Give me some passionate acting here.
Wait just a second.
Here we go.
Wait for your cue.
Here we go.
Are the Cavs for real this season?
Subscribe to our podcast for even more Cleveland sports content.
Why did the Guardians do that?
Now,
what's up with the Browns?
Fan.com.
Better. Save it. That's much better.
That's better. What was the first one where he definitely sounded like he was reading?
Well, we got to hear it.
Go get some of
them. Are the Cavs for real this season?
Okay. Subscribe to our podcast for even more Cleveland sports content.
Mitch. Why did the Guardians do that?
Was he getting somebody else?
We're going to go get somebody else.
Go get Jen.
Anybody else has to get in here. I think it'd be nice to hear some different flavors,
voices. The Browns?
Because that one's got to go. I think we all agree we have to send that one straight to the garbage and get something else.
What
we can
is
do better.
Up with the Browns?
Mitch, we got 20 people
up here. Are the
Cavs
going to be better? Well, he's got to be able to drag them out of their studios. They got shows going on, too. Can you give me a what's up with the Browns?
Yeah, here we go.
All right, here we go. Up.
It's a rotator.
Boop.
It's got to rotate back
Saint
in.
St. Muscle Shoals.
Are the Cavs for real this season?
Subscribe to our podcast for even more Cleveland sports content.
Why did the Guardians do that?
What's up with the Browns?
92.3thefan.com.
Not good.
What was wrong with that?
Not good acting.
What, are you kidding me? That was great.
All right, Jen Tui is in here. Hello.
Good morning,
turn your mic on. All right, I'm going to give her my headphones so she can hear it, okay? Put these over your ears.
I'm going to point to you. All right. Here's your line. What's up with the Browns?
Okay.
Say it for me one time. What's up with the Browns?
I have to say what's up with the Browns.
How you would say it.
What's up with the Browns?
Inquisitive. What's up with the Browns?
All right.
Wow.
Are you ready
pressure.
For it?
Okay.
So
all right.
It's going to be quick. The point's going to go like this.
Okay.
And as soon as I do that, you have to do it. Are you ready?
I think so.
Are the Cavs for real this season?
Subscribe to our podcast for even more Cleveland sports content.
Why did the Guardians do that?
What's up with the Browns?
The best one. The best one. Well done.
Thank you, Ken.
Get us some other ones.
Are these?
Why did Sean Payton trade Jerry Jeudy to us?
Okay, let's go.
Got that? Here we go.
I have to say that?
Yes, you do.
I don't remember those names.
Why did Sean Payton trade Jerry Jeudy?
Jerry Jeudy.
To us.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Hit it.
Are the Cavs for real this season?
Subscribe to our podcast for even more Cleveland sports content.
Why did the Guardians do that?
Why did Sean Payton trade Jerry Jeudy to us?
She sounds like a Monday call. That's good. That's good.
Sound like a certain caller that used to call.
Here we go.
I really know what I'm talking about. I think.
Okay, one more.
Okay.
Was that local guy really a drug mule for P. Diddy?
Mm-hmm. Oh my! What?
Yeah, local. Local.
What?
Played his basketball at Syracuse.
Reckless speculation.
He's been accused of being a drug mule.
Do you want to say it?
I don't want
to
say it.
He went to a local high school.
Well, I didn't know that.
We're moving on. Put the safety back.
He's on TV right now.
Give me my headphones back, Jen.
Guys, thanks for...
Jen, he's on TV.
Thank you. I see.
Thanks for welcoming me to your show.
You guys do entertainment. You didn't bring that up yet?
Not... You know, we do the lighter things than that, usually.
You listen to the podcast, you get to hear the time I got to do it. Not for P. Diddy, but allegedly. Allegedly.
What did you do?
Don't you worry about that. I'll tell
you
off the air.
I know, that makes me very
nervous. If you listen to the emerging podcast scene, you could get to hear it.
I will have to log on the free Odyssey app.
There you go.
I sure will.
Given that we are a sports show and this kid played college basketball and high school basketball in Cleveland, college basketball in Syracuse.
Stay there.
Do we need to investigate this story?
No, we don't.
Do some background checks?
We'll see how the actual authorities do with it, okay?
I think we might be able to beat them to the punch.
I was more worried
the Prince Harry's name came into it yesterday.
What?
Excuse me?
You didn't see that?
He's a drug mule?
Don't get me started
on the royal family.
You love him?
I love Prince Harry.
I'm not a fan of the royal family. Every time I go shoot my mouth.
Are the Cavs for real this season?
Subscribe to our podcast for even more Cleveland sports content.
Why did the Guardians do that?
What's up with Prince Harry?
I'm sorry. I thought it was my line. I stepped over you.
You guys have a good time in here.
Yes, we do.
We're not on the air right now.
This is all just pretend for the break.
Say whatever you want. Okay. That's fine. All right, Jen, thank you very much for the time.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Yeah. Have a great day.
All right, get the hell out of here. Jen,
see, we've got other talented people to source this stuff out to.
What's up with the Browns?
What's up with Christmas Day games, Kenny? Two of them.
Now that's a transition.
But two of them. So I love it as long as the Browns aren't in it. I do not feel like having that kind of anxiety on Christmas Day, which is supposed to be just a layback.
Yeah.
Enjoy your family if you do that kind of thing and just enjoy the day. It seems like a work assignment for everybody.
I don't want the Browns to play on Christmas. It reminds me of the days that the Cavs played on Christmas, and I didn't like when the Cavs played on Christmas because it was just – you always played Golden State back in the day. I know they only played like four times, but still, you played Golden State back in the day, and it was just hellish. And I knew like the next day, the whole night, it was like you were waiting because it was everything to beat Golden State to prove that you could maybe beat Golden State later. And the day they played earlier in the day and Kyrie hit that shot and beat Golden State on Christmas, that was wonderful. But I also remember going over to Liz's friend's house later, and we were watching the game, and the game started to get away, and it was out in Golden State, and people were whooping it up. And I said, I don't want to be here. I don't want to see this. I don't want to deal with it. I want to move on with my life. I don't want the Browns to play on Christmas Day. I don't want the possibility of anything bad happening. I know they can win, and that'd be great. I don't want them to play on Christmas Day.
But then even when they win, you don't go into full celebration mode if they win that game. You got other stuff to do. You've got your responsibilities, depending on what time of the day the game is on.
I can't have a full Browns Day. And I try to tell people all the time, like, it's your holiday. You do not have to spend it with people you don't want to spend it with. If you don't want to spend it with your family, no one's making you do that. I don't know why everybody feels obligated to do it.
But the thing about watching the Browns is you are now forced to watch the Browns with people that you may not ever watch the Browns with, which could be a horrific experience.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's always going to be in every family, because we never really, we're at a sports station, we never realize half the country does not watch the Super Bowl. They physically do not turn it on.
Which is incredible.
They don't watch it. Well, some of those people accounting for that are going to be with you watching the Browns game. And you know for sure the comments are going to be coming from non-Browns fans during a game like that.
They're going to say Jerry Jeudy the way Jen did.
And they're going to say things Like, you're gonna build a new state. Why do we need a new stadium? Why do we have other things to do in Cleveland? While all that's true, are those the type of people you want to watch the Browns game with?
No.
But you're going to be forced to.
No.
So I'll watch other games with them because then I don't have to worry about that. And yes. I'll talk about the Colts problems or anybody else with anybody.
Oh, you guys support this team. What have they ever done for the city? You know those people are going to be saying those things. So why would you want to be forced into that?
Don't want to.
So is anybody truly that excited wanting the Browns to be on Christmas Day? Are we missing the point here?
Do you want them to play on Christmas Day? 216-474-0092. You heard, almost called him the governor. You almost heard the commissioner talk about it. Would you want him to play on Christmas Day? That and Shohei Ohtani and who's the guy from the Raptors?
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
It's a Porter.
It's a big week.
A Porter Jr. I think it's his 14 brother. Of those.
For conspiracy theorists. It's coming up next on The Fan. I know. I'm singing the other version. I don't give a damn. I don't care. I grew up on Warren G, and that's what I'm singing. To the East Side Motel.
It'd be a lot quicker to get to the East Side Motel from the new Dome Stadium.
Ah, ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha. Mitch, please, 940. George Niang coming up here in moments. 216-474-0092. And I mean that at 9 o'clock. George Niang is set to join us at 9 o'clock. Do you want the Browns to play on Christmas? It was a resounding no in this room.
No, I do not.
And it's not just about like, oh, it's a work assignment or anything like that. This isn't work. I mean, it's work, but it's not work. I worked at a stone plant. That's work. I don't care about that. It's like, you're with people. Like, holidays are like forced community at times because no one takes my advice. Like, my brother-in-law don't like hanging out with us, so he doesn't hang out with us.
Well,
so he doesn't go to the holidays with us because if he doesn't want it to be there,
he doesn't need to stay on vacation with
it. Exactly. If he's not going to be there, and you know what? Honestly, like, I give him hell a little bit on the air here. I respect that. It's your time. You only have so much of your time. You've seen enough of us. You don't need to spend all the time with us. Fine. Go right on ahead. You're a grown man. I'm a grown man. You got your family. I got my family. That's cool. We're good here. But when it comes to like all that other stuff, it's like, man, you only got so many Christmases. Do you really want to hang out with people you don't like? Or you want to watch the Browns?
One thing about the Browns, though, too. The game is great, and watching the game is great. The buildup on a regular Sunday, the buildup to a game is part of the experience, right? Like getting your day set up, and it kind of revolves around watching the football game. When it's on a holiday, you've got so much other stuff going on that I feel like sometimes even, you know, the Browns have played on Christmas Eve a few times in the last decade.
Yeah.
And I feel like that buildup is kind of lost. Especially for guys, I mean, I'm at home all day. You guys are doing pregame shows and things like that, so I know that really hampers that. But I lose my buildup to the Browns game because of other responsibilities at the house or getting ready for people to come over, or people are already over, and then you go, crap, the game, they're getting ready to kick off.
Here's the crazy thing about it is you would think that time of the year, we know every game matters. The games in September matter too. These games feel even more important. But yet they're not treated more importantly. Right. They're thrown in as almost exhibition games, the way that they are during the holidays. That is the feel, I think, oftentimes, that doesn't match up with how big and serious the gravity of those games.
216-474-0092. Jim and Medina, hello.
Hey, guys. I think I would like seeing it because it kind of gets you away from the people in your family that aren't Browns fans, and it's... After you're done opening all your gifts, sometimes there's nothing to do anyways, at least for me, the dark sheep of my family.
Oh. Well, yeah, but if I take I take every game personally, right, Jim? So thank you very much for the call. So if they lose, it is nothing but horrific things that are sent in my general direction on a holiday. And I used to get all wrapped up in it and like either get defensive of the team or get overly emotional about it. And then I just decided, you know what? I never did that. Hmm. That is not me. I never faked the video. Hmm. You find your clip.
That's a Ken Carmen classic.
It's not. I didn't do it. That's not a fake. Don't just sit here and you're not Carl Malone and John Stockton over there. You guys can fight on who's Carl Malone.
Check the audio levels. We good? Okay, take two, three, two, one.
That's a Ken Carmen classic.
I'm really excited. Get me on camera. My team won. Go viral, go viral, go viral. It's going viral, it's going viral, it's going viral. It went viral, yes.
Not me. Can't speak for everybody in the market.
I'm surprised by that.
George Niang, 9 o'clock. You know what? I'm just moving on here. You wanted to bring this up yesterday. Some guy from the Raptors was trying to fix games.
Well,
what a way to lead it in, huh?
Not even fixing games, just fixing his personal bet, that the prop that comes out for each individual player. And he's an obscure player. Nobody really knows who this is. Jonte Porter is his name. And these are games of which already the prop bet on their performance was very low. It's not like, hey, Kevin Durant, over under 28 points tonight.
Yeah.
What do you think? The prop bet for him that night was 5.5 points, 4.5 rebounds, 1.5 assists, and he ends up leaving the game like 2 minutes in after crazy amount of bets started coming in, which would never come in for an obscure player. And this happened twice. Immediately, the sports books flagged it. So
yeah.
After the second time, they flagged it that it was going on. Then he was sent away from the team for, quote, personal reasons. The NBA was all over this in, like, record time.
It actually makes me feel a little bit better about it.
Me too.
Now, whatever you want to about Shohei Ohtani, like, there are some things I'm going, I don't know if that makes sense. But when it comes to this here, it's like if the books are noticing it and they're knocking it down because they don't want to lose any money, and the NBA and all professional sports, like, this is a dangerous time. They need to be as vigilant as possible to make sure that their sports are taken seriously. Because before, it's like, hey, if you're gambling on it, it's illegal, or you're in Vegas. Now, it's all out in the open, and you're partnered with these companies. So now you have to take it as serious as a heart attack and go, there's nobody on the inside who's allowed to do this. Okay? This is part of their business. This is part of their entertainment. They're not allowed to do it, at least not on this sport. They're not allowed to do it. So there has to be very, very, very harsh penalties here. With the Shohei Ohtani situation, like, there are some things that I kind of give a side eye to, and I know a lot of people don't trust Major League Baseball, going back to Pete Rose and going back to the whole thing. Like, that's, if they were to lose Shohei Ohtani, that's devastating. It doesn't mean they shouldn't be, if there is anything there, it doesn't mean they shouldn't have to put it down. Because if you find out later on, it turns into the cover-up being worse than the crime. If you find out later on that, hey, Major League Baseball swept some stuff under the rug, well, now you have an entire question of the game. Well, you have an entire question. So the NBA, and they got to be steadfast, because I didn't even know who this guy was, and nobody else did. Like, I don't even remember his name, you just told me. That's one thing. If it were a name in the NBA, you have to be as vigilant as possible to protect your brand, because that's part of what the business is people have to think they have a chance.
They have to. And obviously the big names could manipulate their totals so much easier than someone like this who barely
plays. Ricky Davis did it on purpose back in the day. Yep. Now, that's a joke, but...
Yeah, think about it.
On the triple-double.
And, you know, obviously, like, the bigger names, like Kevin Durant, the LeBrons of the world, they don't need the money. They're not going to be swayed. There's nothing in it for them to do anything like this. So I saw this story, and I couldn't believe some of the initial reaction. See, can't trust the NBA, can't trust sports, can't trust these partnerships with gambling. And I'm like, this is the whole point. Now it's all out in the open. And because it's out in the open, the sports books, they caught it so fast and immediately relayed that information to a third party, independent third party, who then turned it over to the league. They are all over this stuff. So shenanigans today, I mean, the college sports shenanigans and the point shaving scandals of the 80s, I mean, that stuff took time. Yeah. They couldn't catch them. You know, just last week, what was it? The wasn't Temple, was it? Was it... what was the team? I can't remember, but it was...
I'm afraid to say the one because it's going to be wrong and I don't want to have to dump myself.
Yeah, but there was a story that this could be going on, and there was some weird allegations and the numbers got fluffed up big time, and immediately the sports book stopped taking the bets.
Because
they
knew
something
that was
going on.
That was the Temple and UAB game.
Yes.
Right. They knew something was fishy about it and they shut it down immediately. So this is part of gambling being in the open. Is they know they have to have credibility. If the sports books don't have it, if the sports don't have it, this whole thing falls very, very quickly, and they can't have that.
920, hell yes, they are annoying, and it's a great thing for sports. Up next, George Niang, Cavs forward. He defended Caitlin Clark yesterday. He's playing much better as of late, and he says Donovan Mitchell's here to stay. We'll hold our breath. George Niang is expected to join us coming up next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.